It's your Daily Dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, April 11th. I was just saying to Lance that this week is flying. Are you guys feeling the same way? I feel like it's one of those weeks that's like, whoa, we're already on Friday Eve. Just a reminder for those of you on Patreon, we are having our Zoom happy hour tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Pacific time. Should be fun. But today we have a full show of such random news stories. I love a show like today. When you wake up and you're like, what should I talk about? And then by the end of it, like, you know, by 11 a.m. when I record this live, I have 15 stories to talk about. We have a very, very important death. That's how I'll start that show and start saying that. And then we have a pregnancy announcement. We have some unfollows on Instagram, along with, you know, some shady remarks on Instagram stories about narcissism, all on today's Daily Dose of Donna. It's so good to be back to my normal streaming home where my intro is there. I'm used to the way it looks, it feels. My comments are back normal. Welcome to the show, everyone. We've got a big one for you guys. So let's just jump right into the biggest story that I think is happening all over everyone's newsfeed today. And that is that O.J. Simpson has finally passed away. You know, I give you my opinion here. I'm not a journalist. I'm more of like an opinion piece, but I give you guys some news and then I tell you what I think about it. All right. So we got the news that he did die. Let me give you all of the information so that you, you know, you feel like you're actually getting smarter by listening to Daily Dose of Donna, 76 years old after a cancer battle. I love how it says famed football player O.J. Simpson died on Wednesday. This is what Page Six says. I could think of another thing we can call him. On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer, read a statement posted to his X account on Thursday. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren during this time of transition. His family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. Okay. So I guess it had been, diagnosed that he or reported that he was diagnosed with prostate cancer and undergoing chemotherapy earlier in the month, last month. And then he was joking like, hospice? No, I don't even know who's talking about that. So he's a liar up until the day he dies. But he got cancer. Now, if you guys remember, obviously, he was charged with prosecuted for being the murderer of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman. And he was freed. He was announced innocent. If you guys are LA, I mean, I wonder if this was all over the country, the way it was like this, but in LA, so this happened on June 12th, 1994. That means, so my birthday is June 11th. So I was 13 years old. I remember this so well. I lived in West Hollywood, but I went to school in Beverly Hills. And so it just felt so close to home because this murder happened in Brentwood, if you guys remember, obviously. And O.J. Simpson was like a very strong L.A. person. And there was a lot of, you know, Beverly Hills connections. So a lot of people knew him and knew of him and a lot of my parents' friends and my friends' parents. And it was a very strange experience to go through that. Of course, you remember the Bronco, the white Bronco. And then I believe it was in 1995 that he was announced innocent. I can't remember exactly, but it was crazy, right? It was a crazy time. And I think in general, his ability to go free after that case really made a lot of people question, you know, the court system. And I mean, I don't know anyone right now, you know. Of course, then he was let go, he was freed, and it caused major, major struggles. I think there was a lot of, there was just a lot of uprooting in terms of like racial relations, at least here in Los Angeles. You know, this was coming off the LA riots. Then he moved to Las Vegas and he got arrested again years later for trying to, you know, rob, I believe, for sports memorabilia, something along those lines. I just think this guy's bad news bears. He was bad news. He was not someone that brought joy, health, happiness, wealth, anything to the world since 1994, maybe before that he did. You know, Caitlyn Jenner spoke up. You guys, I'm not a Caitlyn Jenner fan. I don't follow her. I have no idea, but I saw it on the news that she announced good riddance. Why is that important? Because Caitlyn Jenner, formerly known as Bruce, was married to Kris Kardashian, or Kris Jenner, who was very, very close with Nicole Simpson. And, you know, her relationship, her marriage with Robert Kardashian, and then they were besties with OJ and Nicole, and then the two of them had to like separate, basically. They were kind of, their family was torn apart because Robert Kardashian ended up being OJ Simpson's attorney during this big court case. I highly recommend, I mean, you can watch a documentary if you really want to catch up or know all the details, but I highly recommend watching that. I think it was on FX. It was the Kardashian, it was the whole like story of the OJ Simpson trial, you know, with Marsha Hart and of course, Kardashian and all of the attorneys that were involved with that crazy case. Fred Goldman, Ron Goldman's father, and Nicole Brown Simpson. And then, you know, it was an amazing, amazing scripted, like, I think it was 5 or 6 episodes. And my favorite is, you know, Ross, David Schwimmer, playing Robert Kardashian. It was one of the best. I couldn't get over it because Robert Kardashian's, like, I think Robert Kardashian probably was like a little smarter in real life, but for whatever reason, the way that David Schwimmer played Robert Kardashian in this miniseries was the craziest thing ever. He was like, I felt like his face was a constant emoji of like, huh? Huh? What? What? So it was pretty interesting. It was a really, really incredible way to kind of look into that time period. I was young, you know, I was 13 on to like 16. So it was interesting. Now this is really weird. My sister lives in Encino, which is just past Sherman Oaks up in the hills. And on her street is the house that Robert Kardashian, like on her block, is the house that Robert Kardashian lived in at the time of these trials. And if you watch the miniseries, or if you know the story, OJ basically like was hiding from the police in those early days. Like this is right around the white Bronco race. I imagine it was after though. I mean, I don't even know exactly what day or when, but he hid in Robert Kardashian's house. And that house, I mean, they finally tore it down, or at least they remodeled it completely. It looks different. But I remember thinking that was so crazy when it was by his house, by her house. Anyway, I don't feel an ounce of sadness that OJ Simpson has died. I wonder if anyone does, honestly, other than his family, maybe, or like maybe his best friends or something. I'm so glad for Ron Goldman's family. Kim Goldman is his sister, and I've met her before. And Fred Goldman, if you remember his face, like you'll never forget his face, just crying on trial, you know, with his white mustache, his white hair. What a strong man, like what they had to go through. Those families, and then to know that he walked free after that. I hope Fred Goldman goes to OJ Simpson's grave and, you know, dances on it, spits on it, dances on it, and, you know, is able to get his final words out. I just feel incredibly grossed out by that whole experience. It was really, really upsetting to watch. I'm curious if any of you guys agree with me and you think he was innocent. I'm curious. Anyway, I feel very, very okay about him being gone. But I had to say it I had to say it. But we have some more fun stories coming up because, you know, this was like a kind of a downer to start the show. But this is not a downer. This is not Daily Downer of Donna. Okay. It's Daily Dose of Donna. I'm trying to think of another D happy word. Daily Drama of Donna. Daily Delight. This is your Daily Delight of Donna. And our show is sponsored by a few different great companies this week. Dr. Motion Socks, my compression socks that I talked to you guys all about that I just wore last night. It was cold in my room. Okay, we put on the air conditioning. It's a beautiful day in LA, but it was cold. Put on my compression socks, slept in them. My feet felt warm, cozy, like they got a nice little hug. I was talking to my therapist the other day about my sensory issues. You guys, I for real have sensory issues. And my feet are like, this is like foot fetish conversation, but my feet have issues with like feeling things. If I'm walking on a bare, if I walk, I can walk outside barefoot, but if I'm inside in any capacity barefoot, I can't handle it. Like if I feel any dust or anything under my feet. So I have to walk with slippers, shoes, socks inside, no matter what like month of the year it is. And when I was a kid, I used to put on socks and my mom said that it was impossible with me because I would cry hysterically. I wouldn't want to leave the house. I would be like, I would be such a mess because I would feel the seams on my socks. Well, these compression socks by Dr. Motion Socks really solve that problem. So go to drmotionsocks.com to get compression socks that really help your sensory issues. In addition to doing a lot of things, circulation, pre-diabetes, anything like that. If you're pregnant, if you're traveling, if you're a nurse, if you walk a lot. We're also sponsored by OneSkin. As you guys know, I use OneSkin. I use the whole process. I love my OneSkin moisturizer. I mix it with a little tinted sunscreen every single morning. OneSkin uses science. So if you're tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple scientifically validated solutions. And as you guys know, this is a Daily Dose with Donna and I, the science girl. I love science. So for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your OneSkin purchase using the code DAILYDOSE when you check out at oneskin.co. Use the code DAILYDOSE. Make sure to tell them that you got sent from Daily Dose of Donna. And it focuses on the cellular aspects of aging. It keeps your skin looking younger and acting younger. I'd like to act young. There's a lot of people out there that like to act young. And that leads us right into our first story. And that is Monica Garcia. We have to talk about Monica. I don't really want to talk about Monica, but Monica Garcia was on the Nick Vile podcast, which got released this morning or last night. I have no idea. Now, Nick, or his team, I should say, does a really good job. They get incredible guests. They really do. I mean, they always have like the top of the top Bravo celebrities and the people that we're talking about, Scandoval and Lindsay and Carl. And who did they recently have that I thought was a really good interview and we were all listening to it? I can't remember. But they always get really good interviews on their show. So all that is good. But he did a really, really good job of promoting his show and saying, you will be shocked by this news. Monica Garcia will be all over the news on Thursday. Well, she is a little bit all over the news. I thought it was going to be something bigger. But the truth is that Monica Garcia, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, reality Vontese, you know, daughter of LD Millionaire, the most toxic mother-daughter relationship we've ever seen on TV, I think, is pregnant with her fifth child at 39 years old. Y'all, look, pregnancy is a beautiful thing. Babies are beautiful things. Children are beautiful things. I have to stand by this and I'm going to stand by this. I don't think Monica comes off to me like a very stable human being. She is beautiful. She is smart. She's calculated. She's a hustler. She knows what she's doing. But man, oh man, I cannot believe that at 39 years old, which is not old to have a child at all, she is having her fifth child with just a boyfriend, just like a guy. Now, we were wondering, who could this guy be? I saw Zach. I'm going to shout out my buddy, Zach Peter. He mentioned on his Instagram today that he knows who it is. He has done some digging and he's figured out that it's Braxton Knight. And now it is confirmed on Daily Mail. I just saw it. Hold on. Daily Mail just confirmed this, that it's Braxton Knight. And interesting. I mean, oh, this is going to remind me. No, I won't get into it right here. I'll talk about it later or on Patreon or something. So, okay. So apparently it is with this man, Braxton Knight, who is 29 years old. This is so going to work, guys. It really is. I just really see this one going the distance. Monica Garcia's baby daddy is revealed to be Braxton Knight. I guess I should just send you guys or show you guys the article while I talk about it because it's nice to have some visuals of Braxton. I mean, he's a good-looking guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a good-looking man. So here we go. He is 29 years old. She's pregnant with her fifth child, and she has admitted that her new man was dating another woman when they met. You guys, my face is saying it all today. I just can't. So this is a picture of, well, this is her on Vile Files talking about it, and this is Braxton. I mean, very good-looking man, right? It's a good-looking guy. He's doing some water sports. Good for him, right? Good for him. He is in the news now. But yeah, he was dating another woman when they met. Now, if we talk about this, I mean, okay. He currently works as the general manager at Wasatch Excursions in Utah. He first met Monica when she filmed scenes for Real Housewives with co-star Heather Gay last year. She admitted that he was dating another woman at the time, but insisted that the romance was not exclusive. Clearly not, because he's screwing you. When we had a break from filming, I went over to him and I was like, "Do you have a girlfriend?" She told Vile, and he said, "No, I'm dating someone." I said, "Yeah, I heard you're courting, but you're not exclusive." And he's like, "No." He handed me his phone and I put my name and number in there. She kept the relationship under wraps for more than a year. I've been dating him for a year. No one even knows who he is, she explained. She was surprised by her pregnancy, saying she went to urgent care and that's when the doctors told her she's 7 weeks pregnant. "I literally just found out. I have not told one effing person except for my best friend and Nick Vile." Weird. Okay. And you know, she said that he said it's your body, your choice, whatever you choose. I'm happy to be your support system and your partner through it. Okay. Guys, look, she has 4 kids from her ex, Mike Fowler. She is awarded sole legal and physical custody from both of them and she received $6,000 in monthly support when her divorce was finalized in October of 23. $2,636 a month in child support, $4,000 a month in alimony. And I don't really know the details on that. I just know that after watching Salt Lake City last season, I mean, it triggered a lot of us because seeing like the mother-daughter relationship was so crazy. But I don't understand how like can I judge? Am I allowed to judge here on my own podcast on Daily Delight of Donna? Am I allowed? Okay. I don't believe that she can love her children from here until the ends of the earth. But seeing her behavior multiple times on various, you know, public platforms, there is no way she can love them, but she is not acting like a good mother. Because to be a good mother means putting your kids first and not doing things that will absolutely like live with them for the rest of their lives, terrorize them, essentially, you know, follow them. It's giving Tori Spelling. It feels so unreal to me that, you know, she can consider herself like, look, and the thing is, I think a lot of people say, like, I love my kids so much. I'm a great mom. But love is not enough necessarily. Ruby Frank also probably loved her kids. Just kidding. I can't even believe I used that as a joke. It's a horrible joke. Horrible. I mean, talk about the most devastating, awful story. But I think Monica loves her kids. I've seen that, like, the older daughter on the show. I just worry. I worry about this family because the way that she talks, like she talks about her mother. And so another thing that happened on Nick Viall's podcast was, you know, she basically said that her mom and she have had a very up and down relationship for so many years. And when she decided to do Real Housewives, she asked her mom to be involved because at that time they were on an up. And she thought, this is great. Like, they'll show our relationship. But of course, because they have such an up and down relationship, we ended up just seeing so much bad, so much negative the entire time, right? She says now in real life, she has no relationship whatsoever with her mom, Linda, LD Millionaire. She doesn't talk to her at all. She doesn't communicate with her. She will never talk to her again. She is not their grandmother. She is not her mother. And Monica is not her daughter. So this is going well. And look, I've cut out my father, right? I don't talk to my dad at all by choice. So, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with cutting out toxic people in your life, like toxic parents or toxic, you know, people. But at the same time, it's a difference between doing it. Like, I couldn't imagine doing it the way she did it on TV, knowing that her kids are going to grow up and watch that. Just all felt so bad, right? It gave you an ick. I don't want to feel an ick from watching these shows. And that gave me an ick. It felt like we shouldn't be watching this, right? It's like, we shouldn't be here. Like, let's get out of this room. I don't know. I wasn't that like surprised or anything by the fact that she's pregnant because I just feel like it's another last chance, like do anything to stay relevant. She also posted a reel of her finding out she was pregnant, even though obviously she knew she was pregnant because she found out at urgent care. But it's this video of her finding out she's pregnant using a cup of her pee. should we watch it together on Instagram? Should we watch the reel together and cringe together? Or are we not interested whatsoever in watching her find out that she's pregnant? But she's posting, it's a cup of her pee that is, guys, I don't even want to watch, look at my own. No one wants to see that, right? Dude, does anyone want to see that? I'm not a nurse for a reason, okay? So she, you know, she gets 10 tests and she does her best in her full makeup and hair because, of course, that's what you do when you, you know, when you urinate into a cup to find out if you're pregnant, you make sure to do all your best hair and makeup and you know, everything else. Okay, a lot of you guys want to watch it. Interesting. We'll watch it for a second. I'm not even going to put the sound on for this one because there's no speaking. No, it's just music. So she's opening up all of these different pregnancy tests, you know, just, I don't know, making some faces, showing us the pregnancy tests. Then she pulls out the cup. And this is the moment where I said, I don't know. I don't know if I want to see it. Like, this is, oh, we're watching it. We're watching it. Also, she needs a little more water. I feel like if I was her mom, well, oh, that's right. Sore subject. If I was her friend, I'd be like, Monica, you gotta hydrate more. You gotta hydrate more because this doesn't look healthy. I was told it's supposed to be very clear. She's putting one thing in. She's putting another one in. Oh my God, she's freaking out. She is freaking out even though urgent care already confirmed her pregnancy. Oh my God, you guys, she's pregnant. She is pregnant. That is a lot of pee, Emily says. Ah, and then, you know, she immediately looks, oh my God, you guys, it's happening. I'm pregnant. She says she will not take any hateful comments. So if you give her one hateful comment, she will get completely, she will block you. She will block you. So don't leave a hateful comment on Monica Garcia's page. All right, listen. For anyone that is wondering about, you know, having a new family member or like the joy of life and joy of pregnancy, I agree. Okay, so there you go. Congratulations, Monica. Congratulations. We got to talk about Bethany too. This is something that just kind of jumped into my feed this morning. Bethany Frankel has now rebranded her podcast, Rewives. If you guys remember, Rewives was a podcast all about, oh my God, Joe. Joe has the best comment. Joe says, it makes sense her pee looks like that. She's been thirsty for a while. Hilarious. Hilarious. Okay. So Bethany Frankel has announced that she has a new podcast and it's called Just Be Divorced. This is not a joke. It is not a drill. And you know what this is. You know that Bethany is struggling right now with numbers. There is no question. Rewives was Bethany's, it was her bread and butter. I mean, we were definitely watching Rewives and listening to Rewives when she had Jill Zarin on, when she had all these different like housewife personalities on. And then now that she's not talking about the Reality Reckoning at all, has anyone heard her talk about Reality Reckoning? And she doesn't really have anything going. Like she's not coming up in my feed at all. This is killing her. So she needs to now say, what can I talk about that people are dying to know about? And about seven of us are dying to know about her divorce. So after, well, let's watch the trailer together or her little preview together. Because look, at the end of the day, I do think, you know, she will get views on this. But I don't know. Let's see.
I am going to talk about something that I've never talked about and that nobody knows about. My 10-year divorce on a 2-year marriage. It's been a journey. So I'm ready to discuss it. Have I discussed my divorce in little pieces? And have I discussed divorce in general? Yes. Has the media written about my divorce ad nauseum? Yes. But have I ever really spoken about my divorce from my perspective, how it all went down? No. Somehow I have to find the way to convey to people so they don't go through it. I just think I can do that. I think that I was born to do that. I've been burned. I have massive trust issues. And it's why I have not gotten married again. It was literally the most traumatizing thing that I will hopefully ever go through in my life.
Okay. I have heard from multiple people that have gone through really painful divorces that it does feel harder than death and like sickness. I can imagine so. But why am I so naive to believe that if their 10-year divorce over a 2-year marriage happened, I wonder, like, how are we to believe that Jason Hoppe is the reason? Seriously, how are we? Honestly, I need to know from you guys. Do we really actually believe that Jason Hoppe is why it lasted 10 years? I mean, it's possible. I guess we'll find out. I guess we'll find out. I mean, I don't know if I can sit through it because I'm not personally going through divorce. So it feels like a little bit like it's not my wheelhouse to listen. I just want to know what. Here's another problem with this situation. Her story is going to be very different than his story, which is going to be very different than the truth, right? The truth is somewhere in the middle. So we're going to have Bethany give her version of events, but unless we're seeing like court documents and actual, you know, receipts on what were the problems, we're getting her version of the truth. And we've all heard her version of the truth about everything that she's done, which is, you know, a little bit of rewriting. Bethany likes to rewrite history. So I don't know. It will be an interesting thing to listen to. I'm curious. I don't know. Do they share custody of Bryn? Leslie says, I'm pretty sure that Bryn goes back and forth. I don't really know why, what like their, you know, and now their agreements are. I think she has the majority of custody, but I don't think she's with her all the time. So we'll have to see. Okay. So anyway, Bethany is back in the news on her own accord. Let's get into something else that just, you know, jumped onto my feed this morning, and that's John Jansen. And, you know, I don't really like talking about dirty John Jansen, but today I had a moment. Let me share with you exactly what he did. He posted on his feed. I believe it was on his story. Let me check exactly. Or maybe it was a post. It says, "Dear narcissist, lying about the people you've abused doesn't change the truth about who you are. You can go ahead and try to destroy our lives with lies because we know that we can destroy yours with the truth. We see right through your facade, and it's only a matter of time until others see through it as well." Okay. Couple interesting things about this. So this was on his feed. This is a post by All About TRH. They are a, you know, like a Real Housewives Instagram. Okay. So I don't know if they added the picture themselves. It looks like they kind of put this together. I don't think he had pictures of both Shannon and Alexis on his post. This was his post. They added Shannon and Alexis. And then here in the comments, Alexis Bellino wrote, "Smear campaign is done. 100, 100, 100. Hashtag truth wins." But this is interesting. Tamara Judge commenting on this post with like with clappy emojis, meaning she agrees with him. And let's see if any other housewives wrote anything on this. Not that I'm seeing. Okay. I started to wonder, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong here, but I started to wonder, what if John is, I'm already laughing, just thinking, what if John is actually the sane one in this entire experience? It's possible. Like, there are crazier things that have happened out there. It is possible that John Jansen is actually the victim here. I'm laughing as I'm saying it out loud because I'm falling for him. No, I'm not falling. I'm not falling in love with him. But like, am I falling for this? Is it possible that like Shannon's the problem? We've seen Shannon act a little wackadoodle. I don't know. Now, it is a little confusing that he says, "I don't want to be in the public eye." And then he posts a public Instagram post like this. I believe it's public. I don't know. Rebecca says, "Why is John a new housewife?" I'm asking the same thing. Now, Mark says, "With friends like Tamara, you don't need enemies." Listen, I don't believe they're friends. I think they're very much enemies. We heard that they had a huge fight in OC or in London on their London trip. We know that they had major drama over Tres Amigos. John Smiley. Oh, your comments kill me on the show. I swear. I think Shannon is problematic. I think Shannon definitely lies a lot and is a little delulu and dramatic in a lot of ways. I think she's been the victim, the perpetual victim, season after season after season after season. I also have always thought Dirty John Jansen was the problem because I feel like he is probably kind of attributed to Shannon's meltdowns. But now that Dirty John Jansen is not in Shannon's life anymore and Shannon's still having drama with all these housewives, it does make you wonder. It does make you wonder. Now, if we did House of Villains with all the shitty men involved in different Real Housewives from all the seasons, let's start a list. Okay, let's start a list. I see Debbie wrote Harry Dubin, Slade Smiley. We have David Bedore. I mean, it's anyone Shannon dates, right? David Bedore, John Jansen. Let's go. Brooks has to be on that list. Every Tom, Tom Sandoval, Tom Schwartz. They're not on Housewives, but they still go in this house. And throw Jax in there too, Jax Taylor. Tom, tell me it's not about Tom, Luann. Oh my God, this is so funny. Joe, you wrote the comment right as I was talking. Who would want to see this is great. RNMOB, Real Narcissist Men of Bravo, starring John Jansen, Louie, Lenny Hochstein, Brooks, Michael Darby, Jax Taylor, and Tom Sandoval. And I'm sure we could list so many more. I think in order to be on we should throw Juan on there, Juan Dixon, just because he's annoying. Who else can we throw in there? We should throw Ink on there, Mia's, just because I want to meet Ink. Joe Giudice. I love Joe Giudice. You guys, is it Joe Giudice or Joe Giudice? There's got to be more that I'm just not thinking of right off the top of my head. You know, it's really hard to think of all the housewives that we've met through the years. What about the one that is Jimbalino? Jimbalino should go in there, right? All the Toms on it. If your name is Tom, you're screwed. Name a good Tom other than Tom Hanks. There is not one. Peter Thomas should definitely be in there. I would watch it in a heartbeat. Like, subscribe to Hulu, Peacock, all the things. All the things. Okay, so this is good. Ryan from OC, Jen's BF. Well, I will tell you something. I've met Ryan, and I actually really like Ryan as a person. He seems like a really nice dude. I've met him a few times. And I would like to see second season Ryan, because Jen on OC, her first season with Ryan was like a little bit shady and out there. But I would like to see second season, because I feel like, you know, everyone gets like a weird season. Everyone gets a real weird season. Ryan, that's a different Ryan. Okay, so let's keep it going. We'll see what happens. You guys, we're all drumming up publicity for OC. We're just so excited. Like, when does OC start? I saw that Dubai has a new trailer that just got released. I'm scared to air it because I don't want a copyright infringement, but I will be 100% frank and honest with you. I will be 100% Bethany Frankel with you. I did not watch the entirety of Dubai season one. This was before Daily Dose of Donna. I didn't have to do it for work, and I was not that interested in it. I will definitely watch it now. I will, shalom. I will definitely watch it now and catch up. But I guess a lot of you guys are not very excited for Dubai. Yeah, it's, we'll see. I mean, I'll give it a shot. I mean, it has to get better, right? I just thought first season was pretty boring. A lot of you guys agree with me. Oh, I thought I was alone there. Okay, that's good. I couldn't hang. But maybe we got to do like a rewatch together. That's a good idea. We should do a rewatch together. Maybe I'll do a Patreon rewatch of Dubai. Anyone want to do it with me? Okay. We got to move on. So this next story is brought to you by Robody. Robody weight loss shots are the best. It's the best way to get access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Robody program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes, BMI, and other eligibility criteria apply. So go to ro.co/Donna. D-A-N-A, of course. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/Donna. Okay, we got to move on and talk about some Vanderpump Rules drums. You know, Vanderpump Rules doesn't give us too much, the actual show, but the after the show, like the real life drama, is giving so much. It always does. So the first thing that we saw is that Lala has apparently, allegedly unfollowed Ariana and Katie. We see that Lala has talked about this multiple times. She says, after the reunion, we are going to see that there is something that certain people were being fraudulent, she said, which I think is a really interesting word to use. Let me see if I can find the exact, it was from her own podcast. I'm going to see if I can find the exact quote, but she said something along the lines of, you know, that she just doesn't think that they've been 100% honest. Oh, here it is. Okay. Luckily, Bywig Hello Drama is always available for me whenever I need. There's some accounts that I'm just always going to because I know they'll have it. It says, Lala Kent talks about the Vanderpump Rules reunion. She says, I don't know what it's like with the rest of them, but I kind of look at them a little differently. I feel like these people who I thought were so honest are actually not. I was feeling like, oh, we got some fraudulence in the mix. When pushed on which of her castmates she was referring to, Lala said only, there's just something about her, or there's nothing about her. You guys make the call. What do we think about that, you guys? Now, Do I think something about her is going to open? The answer is no. If it does, I will be floored, shocked, and, you know, physically shaking. Chef Penny DeVitti, that's the head chef that they hired, who's now a partner of Something About Her and apparently owns the copyright to Something About Her. I was in her DMs and I said, you know, will it ever open? And she goes, she did like a quiet mouth emoji, right? A quiet mouth emoji, and said, you'll have to see, dot, dot, dot. This is a business we're talking about. Like, a business is meant for people to know about it. Can you imagine messaging, you know, your local Papa John's and being like, are you guys ever opening? And they said, you'll have to see, dot, dot, dot. It's so for the show, right? It's not connecting to me, because any business, as like a customer, if someone messaged, like, for example, there's this great yogurt stop, like this yogurt shop, frozen yogurt, Greek frozen yogurt shop that's opening up near my house. I immediately started following them on Instagram because I've been to their location in Beverly Hills. I'm super excited about it. I sent them a DM and I was like, I can't wait for you guys to open. They didn't write back, dot, 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 quiet mouth, we'll see. I would be like, wait, what? Are you like effing with me? When are you opening? So it doesn't make any sense to me that this is so hush hush. It's clearly something happens on the show or during the show or whatever. So what could it be? What could it be? Yes, Joe says, I thought Something About Her shop is not opening, but was instead going to be a ghost kitchen thing instead. Is that not happening anymore? Well, yeah, there was some sort of like rumor that Something About Her was going to be a pop-up ghost kitchen thing in different cities, maybe. So what I know about ghost kitchens, my stepbrother is involved with a very big ghost kitchen situation here in Los Angeles. It's two things. You can either like use a commercial kitchen as your restaurant, meaning you don't have a storefront, you don't have a place that people can actually sit and eat in, but you still can be, you know, available for delivery on Postmates and DoorDash and all those Uber Eats, whatever. And they all come from the same kitchen where they're being cooked. Or Something About Her could be like a pop-up in a variety of different cities. I don't know. I have no idea. Mark says, I like Lala, but I think she's working too hard to try to ensure another season. Very possible and very, very accurate, because this season's a flop. You guys, I don't know about you, but I think Vanderpump Rules is a flop season entirely. Like, I'm not enjoying the show. I'm not excited to watch it each week. The after show and what is coming out about it afterwards every episode, yeah, those things are more interesting to me, but the actual show is not like grabbing my attention in any way. It's very interesting because, and this is why it all feels so confusing. Lala, you know, posted negative stuff about Katie after the reunion was filmed. The gender reveal was March 8th, which was before the reunion was filmed. And of course, Sheena did like a whole thing during it. And Sheena was there. Stassi was there. Christina Kelly was there. And Katie was there. So I'm just confused a little bit. Who's friends and who's not? But okay, whatever. Meanwhile, we had what could possibly be. Are you guys ready for this one? Joe, sweet Joseph. What is it? Oh, my Joseph. What's her? Joe, my gosh, on Instagram. Joe, Katie Schwartz. Tom Schwartz's latest victim, Joe Wemberg, was on, Rachel Goes Rogue podcast. You don't have to listen to it, but you do have to watch the reel that Rachel posted about it, because if I had to go through that, I think that all of you have to go through that. And quite possibly the most annoying thing about this, it's not the fact that she had Joe on her podcast. It's not they're beautiful. Like, it's not about that. It's the way that they sound in this video. When I tell you, I was like, I couldn't handle it. Everyone, volume up on the sounds here.
Episode of Rachel Goes Rogue. We've got Oh my gosh! Ah, Joseph! Joseph!
I'm so excited!
This episode of Rachel Goes Rogue, we've got...
I'm going to make you guys do it one more time.
Oh my gosh! Ah, Joseph!
Joseph!
This episode of Rachel...
Everyone do it together. You know what they're giving? They're giving like really annoying teenage girls in the backseat of your car. If you're a mom, you know what I mean. Like just sounds, like weird sounds that are coming out of their body. Not bodies, but like their mouth. Now, I couldn't listen to the podcast. I just couldn't do it to myself. I did hear a couple little clips here and there. But luckily, I do have people that I follow that did listen. And so they broke it down. And this is basically what Taste of Reality on Instagram has announced about what was said on this podcast. Joe was asked to be on the show and finally agreed so she could tell her story because she was sick of being silenced. She felt violated by Sheena taking off her hat at Hotel Ziggy. Understandable. She says the cast doesn't know her enough to hate her. Fine. She said the mean girl energy mainly came from Katie. No one is surprised about that. She says Joe and Tom Schwartz don't talk anymore. Okay, so Tom and her do not talk anymore. She got mentally effed by T-Money, Tom Schwartz. She is still grieving this loss. She thinks Katie was intimidated by her relationship with Schwartz. I truly believe that there is some truth in that. I don't know if intimidation is the right word, but upset. She didn't like her relationship with Schwartz. I think had Joe not been close with Schwartz, Katie wouldn't have cared about her regardless. She said the producers wanted to show someone who was actually blindsided, meaning, you know, they almost wanted to, like, I heard this one clip that she said that production did a really good job of being on her side and like helping her through her confessionals and stuff because they felt like finally someone can, you know, expose, this is what she said, expose Tom Schwartz for kind of who he is, which is like kind of a jerk. Like actually kind of a jerk. She said Sheena gave her a tissue at the reunion when they found out. Okay. When they found out that Schwartz lied about their relationship, I guess Joe was crying and Sheena gave her a tissue. Ariana said nothing to her at the reunion. Lala was calling everyone out at the reunion, even Sheena. No surprise there. Joe said that Schwartz told her off camera that he was going to wear a red wristband and then decided to wear a green one at the singles party. Schwartz did a really bad job communicating his needs and desires, his boundaries with this girl. Like, this is 100%, you know, I think this is 100% Schwartz's problem. Like, yes, Joe was a little delulu here, but I can understand why. When someone tells you they love you and they have so much chemistry with you and they're so excited you're around and come stay with me and like I want to hang out with you and we're like besties, Joseph. We're besties. Yeah, you would find it a little confusing. Schwartz told Joe that he didn't make out with a girl at that singles party when he came home that night. So I guess Joe hadn't seen the kiss when he made out with that rando that just wanted to be on TV. Schwartz hid their relationship the entire time, and he wouldn't return to VPR unless they pay. She wouldn't return to VPR unless they paid her $1 million. She said the ratings are only good thanks to Rachel. Okay, listen, I feel for anyone that gets like blindsided and whatever, but you know what? Tom Schwartz is. It's truly hard to like. Care about any of these people anymore, you guys. I'm finding myself like getting really jaded and really, what's the word? Not jaded, maybe like just tired. I'm tired of all of them. We have such new shows, such good new shows that are popping up. The Valley is so interesting. I like Vanderpump Villa. Of course, you know my feelings about Southern Hospitality. I just started watching Grand Cayman, which is on Freeform, but I'm watching it on Hulu. We have so many other reality shows with like such different people. I really am struggling on Vanderpump Rules. I will watch it through the finish line. I will not finish what I've started. But all of these people are very unlikable. Every single one of them, even the likable ones are unlikable. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's too much for me. I think Schwartz has a major addiction problem and it's not being addressed. I agree. A lot of you guys agree that, you know, he has been he's always on something. He hasn't like been able to figure his life out. Like he's just, it gives a bad, icky feeling, right? Doesn't it? By the way, Grand Cayman, I will be talking about the show. Do you guys want me to recap Grand Cayman for you here on the show? Or should this be like a Patreon only thing? Grand Cayman stars a bunch of these beautiful people. Literally, if I ever, like I'm never going to the Grand Cayman unless I get hair extensions, new boobs, and go on Ozempic. And then like gain 4 inches in my height. These women are so beautiful. Like you can't find more pretty people in one cast than the Grand Cayman show. Elizabeth, it stars this woman, Elizabeth. And if you guys know who she is, she was Army Hammer's wife of 10 years. Army Hammer was the actor that ended up, you know, getting completely canceled because he was like eating body parts. What was he doing again? It was like the craziest thing. She found him in all these affairs where he was talking about like violently, like drinking blood. Like it was nuts. But now watching the first episode, I'm only halfway through. And I think there's like seriously something wrong with Elizabeth too. So it works out. I can't wait. It feels like a good hot mess to get into. And then of course we have Buying Beverly Hills and Selling Sunset and Selling the OC. Like there's a lot of really good shows on TV. I don't know if I can do Vanderpump Rules more than this season. Like I don't know how much longer I can stick with these people. I just don't. What other stories today? I feel like there was one other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. Let's just see if it pops up. And if not, we will wrap it up for today. I did do, you guys, I listened to Jackson Brittany's When the Reality Hits podcast this morning because I still kind of can't really get over this dynamic between them. I have fallen in love with Brittany this week because of her on Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. I thought it was one of the best interviews where I really got to know her and got to feel like her side, but then it immediately gets erased when you listen to them, you know, record what When Reality Hits on Tuesday. They recorded it 2 days ago, so it's current. And the amount of laughter and like just letting Jax be Jax and like, I wonder, is this all, are we all getting just played? Because it's so confusing to me. If she's so strong, if she is like so moved on from Jax, if she feels so much like I can't stand this guy and whatever, then why in the world would she ever want to be on this podcast and like laugh shit off with him? Here's another thing that I found very interesting about their dynamic, which really Jax is just being Jax. I mean, he's horrible. He can't stand Brittany like getting any sort of credit or accolades. Cause on this podcast, he was asking her about Watch What Happens Live. And, you know, she went on Watch What Happens Live alone. Usually she's with Jack. She was alone. She held her own. She came off strong. And she says, well, so this is what she says. She goes, I was on Watch What Happens Live. And Jax goes, yeah, I mean, like, what was up with Andy being like so obsessed with me, asking so many questions about me? And Brittany, that was his first reaction to that, right? And Brittany goes, well, yeah, I mean, he knows you, Jax. He's known you for years. So I think he knows like what kind of person you are. So of course he's going to ask. And she says, you know, I think he was actually really surprised and taken aback by me. And Jax goes, what do you mean? And she goes, by my strength, like I've grown so much in the last couple of years. I think he was really surprised to see me in this way rather than just, you know, how I used to be, which was just your wife or your girlfriend. And Jax goes, oh, I didn't have a chance to watch it, really. What a dick. So basically he says, I didn't have a chance to watch the show, but I know that he asked all the questions about me. But then when she wanted to talk about her strength, he was like, yeah, I don't watch it. Then she's saying that she went to go see Ariana at Chicago, the musical, and she went with Brad, one of Ariana's best friends, some other girls, and Carl Radke from Summer House. And Jax goes, oh, I heard some rumors about you and Carl. And she goes, like, what? What are you talking about? And he goes, I don't know. I heard some like flirtatious things that you were happening between you and Carl. And Brittany goes, oh my gosh, we spoke like 5 words. There was a lot of other people there. Were you jealous? And Jax goes, no. Like, he's such a dick. She has moved out. She's now in an Airbnb, allegedly, apparently, you know, whatever. And you would think he'd be trying to make it work and make it better. But he literally just disrespects her left and right. And she's like, it bothers me. When she's without him, she feels really strong. When she's with him, she like reverts back to, you know, Jax's wife, Brittany. And then they started talking about love languages because that was a big part of this episode. They start talking about love languages and she's like, so do you know the love languages? And he's like, no, I don't really know. And she's like, I don't really know either. So she reads a list, words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch, you know, whatever. And he's like, I do that all. I do that. I give you gifts. I say I love you. He just sucks. He really sucks. And I think she needs to stop doing the podcast with him. I understand it's a financial decision, but I think she needs to stop doing the podcast with him because I think he thinks he's got his cake and can eat it too. He's sitting in his beautiful LA, you know, gorgeous new construction home that they bought together. He's sitting in it all alone. He doesn't have his kid that he has to wake up early and feed and do all those things with, which may be actually sad for him, but I think most people would look at it like, oh, this is a break, right? He doesn't have his wife there that's nagging him and giving him a hard time, knowing Jax, that's what he thinks of her. He's living his life. He's going out to the bars every night. Meanwhile, she is in an Airbnb with her son, like still being a mom, still going through the struggles, paying all the bills. Something is going on here and she needs to show him like, no, either you have me or you don't. But I don't think he's ever going to like get better or change his behavior or change who he is because she's not forcing him to. Does that make sense? It's almost like you need that ultimatum or you need like, you can't just have half of me. Why the hell would Jax and Brittany ever get back together? Why would he ever change his behavior to get her back when he kind of has her back? That podcast is like a real bad stick in the mud between them. Anyway, I like her. I like her a lot. I just like her sans Jax. Okay, so we will talk more about all of this. You guys, the Summer House mid-season trailer just released. It is so good. I am literally on board with Summer House 1,000%. Of course, that's on tonight, so I will be going deep, deep and hard into it tomorrow. And I'll see you guys tomorrow's show. Patreon will come out later today. And then our happy hour tomorrow night, you guys. I enjoy your comments. I enjoy you being here every single time. I love what I do. Thanks, guys, so much. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.